He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I always go to the first preseason game. And this year it's in Palm Springs, so I'll see if I want to make that drive out there. But like, so it was the first Ham coaching year, right? And obviously they bring Russ back. We're playing the Kings. And so obviously Darvin, like, this is his first coaching job, right? And this is the first preseason game. And so we go up like 11-2, right? Russ gets a drive-in layup and I'm like pretty close. And Darvin's like, we just won the title. Like, he's like chest pumping people, extremely excited. We're up 11-2 on the Kings preseason. And then the Kings go on like a 34-5 run. Like, we're down 20 at the end of the first quarter already. And like, the emotion from Darvin's face, like, oh, this is not going to be as easy as I thought. You know, you could just see the, like, all that excitement and hype just went away in the first preseason game. I just, like, I'm interested to see JJ on Friday, because this is all fun. This is all cool until, like, that first run comes. You're like, oh, scrap all that. Like, we're not doing any of this.
LeBron, what do we do? Like, no, I'm pulling for him, obviously, and he's going to figure some of this stuff out just by way of experience. But the nine-man rotation and some of the quotes to this point have been abjectly funny. The next thing that we talked about here in Stephen W. With this comment, the offensive rebounding plan is great until we get run off the floor again. So it's kind of interesting here because Darvin basically told the guys to stop trying to get offensive rebounds so that they could get back on defense.
Right.
And that wound up backfiring because they just
didn't kind of
lollygagged. Like, they just, like, and I kind of think, like, all right, so I have 2 points to make on this. So one, if as a culture you become accustomed to giving teams an inch, right, they're going to take the mile, you know, because you're going to play a team that is the opposite end of that spectrum. You know, and so, like, if you're, you know, because in terms of just personnel, they don't have a whole bunch of you know, high energy guys who are going to dive through brick walls to go get you a loose ball. That's not something that they have a whole bunch of. And so for Darvin to kind of compound that issue by telling them, well, just get back on defense. That's going to, like, it led to, like, even lazier tendencies from an already kind of soft team. I know that you kind of flinch at the usage of soft. I'm sorry. And then, you know, the second point here is that actually I think by crashing the offensive glass, specifically from the corners, because if you're standing in the corner, you're probably not going to impact the transition, the opposite end transition play. So if you're standing there in the corner on the weak side corner and you crash, and the team that you're playing against knows that you're going to crash, they are going to have to send you an offensive rebounder or a defensive rebounder or somebody putting a body on you so that you so that they can, you know, obviously not give up the offensive rebound. And that one player that they keep back to do that is usually enough statistically to really throw teams out of whack with what they're trying to do on transition offense. So, like, that's why I've been really excited about, like, for a variety of reasons, but this one, because it came up again today, the transition defense, this is something that I'm really excited about because this is a way to, you know, kill two birds with one stone.
I feel like, so number one, I've seen, you know, obviously I've heard JJ talk about this and I've seen this be something used against Darvin a lot. Like, you just made this point here as well. You know, Darvin told them to get back because their transition defense was terrible. We still have a hard time kind of articulating what, you know, good defense is. I think defense is quickly thrown into the effort bucket, but transition defense, it's all about kind of lining up correctly, right? And I think the like, I understand crashing from the glass, but the guy that can't crash, sadly, on this team is Anthony Davis. Like, that's the conundrum that they're in, right? Because whenever AD crashes and he doesn't get the offensive rebound, your rim protection on the other end is Rui and LeBron. And regular season LeBron and Rui Hachimura. And I think that's where teams murder us. And teams scout this. Denver, number one, they do this the best out of anyone. Yeah. And it's the thing that we never countered for some reason. Obviously, bigs that can dribble give us the biggest issue. Sabonis does this to us a ton, right? I just mentioned Jokic as well. Like, these are bigs that can handle. They destroy us because AD goes for the offensive glass, and this is scouted. They bring Aaron Gordon and Jokic. They scout this. They get two guys to box out AD on those boards to box him out, and then they're out the other way. And that's something that's like a tough gray area to kind of line. I understand trying to increase our efficiency by having Rui or Max Christie crash, and I think they can do that. How good Rui is or how receptive he is for that being a role for him is something we have to see. But my biggest thing is, like, how much can JJ, I guess, get to AD and, like, get to the team and understand, like, hey, if AD's crashing, then everyone has to be back. Everyone. Like, no one crashes. And that's a tough line to walk when you see it. Like, basketball's not on a spreadsheet. Like, when you see a ball go up and you think you have a chance for it, like, those kind of plays happen. But, like, that's where we got killed last year. I don't know how I blame transition defense on Darvin Ham, though. You know, like, because I've seen this online. It's just, it's not like Darvin went in and was like, had no plan for transition defense, right? Like, it's tough for me to, like, put that. He had no plan for transition defense. He just told
Did
them
you
get
hear
back.
The quotes from media?
Yeah, I heard them, but, like, this isn't, like, I know we joke about Darvin, but, like, this is an actual NBA coach. I understand, like, he wasn't great in his role, but, like, he just was, like, telling them he had no plan for transition defense at all. He just said, get back
he
and
had no
figure
plan
it
in
out.
General, Raj.
Okay, but transition defense is, like, that's a universal kind of thing that every team has to deal with, right? Like, every team has rules.
Yeah, but, like, if all you're basically doing is, like, all right, get back on defense, like, and that's, like, the extent of your organization on defense, or, you know, transition defense, that's way less than what other teams are doing on transition offense, you know? Like, Darvin's problem, always. Like, Rob told us what Darvin's problems were, right? By saying he wanted a grinder, by saying he wanted a nerd, a sicko, all of those things. He wanted somebody hyper-organized, hyper-prepared, all of those things. Essentially, if you say that on the heels of firing your coach, you're basically saying that the coach was not those things, right? And so for Darvin, like, if he was unorganized elsewhere, mm-hmm. There's probably a really good chance he was unorganized in this area, especially relative to, like, what other teams are expected to do on either side of the ball on transition.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not saying he was, like, schematic.
And also, like, the margin for error on transition stuff, especially transition defense, is zero. Like, the Lakers can have, they've probably had one of the better half court defenses in the league the entirety of the time that they've had Anthony Davis, because he's a giant presence. But in transition, like, if he is just a step slow, if the backside guy is a step slow, or if the guy who does get back, if the second guy sinks in just a little too far, oh, there's a trailer three-pointer, a wide open trail three-pointer. Like, the margin for error on transition defense is zero. And I think just generally speaking, having guys crash from the corners on offensive rebounding, it's a margin, like, it adds margin to various aspects. And this is where I think, like, because you mentioned how, like, Anthony Davis is the guy that you want crashing. And I get that. That's a good point. You want him involved on the offensive rebounding too. But if you're crashing from the weak side and you're playing a team that isn't prepared for that, and guys like Rui, guys like Max, guys like Vando, whenever he's healthy, guys like Cam get a full running head start, a nice little runway to get all the way to the basket and attack the rebound that way, it essentially becomes Anthony Davis athletically in terms of, like, what those guys are able to do, the heights that they're able to reach because they have a whole runway to get off of the ground. Now what they do when they get the ball is where things get, you know, that's very different than Anthony Davis getting an offensive rebound, but just getting a possession there. And I think just as importantly, forcing these opposing teams to keep somebody back there on the baseline and focused on there, that opens up the margin for error as your team is getting back on defense.
Yeah. I mean, also like shot selection is a big part of this too. Not taking wild shots, right? Long shots or long rebounds, all that stuff goes big. I think Lakers fundamental issue is that during the regular season, even if like, and D'Lo, I thought this was interesting. I combined these two things, Anthony. D'Lo apologized, like a full on apology of, hey, I should have been better last year. I should have been more focused on defense. And look, I agree with that. I think D'Lo's had a lot of possessions where he just takes off because he's so silky smooth on offense. But like, even if D'Lo gets back, it's a mismatch, right? If there's a big switch on and if Austin gets back, it's a mismatch, which is why I think AD and LeBron being engaged and LeBron bringing up transition defense, like, let's be real, like LeBron has to get back. Like, how can JJ go to LeBron and be like, is LeBron going to run back now because JJ is the coach? Like, I don't know the answers to these questions, but like, obviously LeBron obviously did not like Darvin's transition defense principles at all either, which is very interesting to hear. But yeah, LeBron has to get back and he has to be super involved on the defensive end. And maybe these offensive players can kind of lower his load on that end. But that's why I think like the AD thing, especially against teams that have bigs that can dribble, and like almost every team has like a big forward that can bring the ball up. And Lakers get murdered by these teams. Like Sacramento beats us by like 20 every time. Denver obviously does this to us a ton. Like those are the teams where like I think you have to have a plan. I like Max crashing. I like Rui crashing. I think that's smart. It's really copying what Boston does, right? Boston crashes from the corners. They've got the numbers and like what percentage of the shots actually fall between the wing and the corner and kind of doing the math there. But transition defense to me is like one of the most effort parts of the game. And I think like a team that's already, you know, undersized and a 40-year-old LeBron, like, am I going into this team, Anthony, expecting us to be good in transition defense? I'll be honest, no. So I gotta look up what number we were at last year, especially after the lineup change. But I think it's a great, again, I like that JJ's all structured and organized, I think transition defense is going to be something that I have to kind of see before I kind of believe it's going to be different from last year.
Yeah, and I think where we would agree or where I think most people would agree is that it's refreshing to at least acknowledge some of the real weaknesses in last year's team, you know, and transition defense was a major one. And, you know, if like Darvin was still the coach, not saying he would be, but like if Darvin was still the coach, would he, you know, specifically be mentioning this as something that they need to focus on, you know? And, that's like, you know, that's always the nice thing about bringing a new coach in, right? And trying to instill a new culture is that you do get to hit that reset button and you get to be hyper aware of the shortcomings from the previous season. And this was a major one. Final thing here from camp, Max Christie apparently played really well.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen Hood-Schifino apparently played really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was kind of looking for from camp that I didn't get any clarity on was whether Christian Koloko was available. It doesn't appear that he was. So that's something to keep an eye on too. Raj, when you saw that Jalen Hood-Schifino was acquitting himself well, did you just start levitating? How'd that go down?
So I'm going to start with this because I was really, I don't remember the report.
Oh, man, you know what? That's so crazy. This is the end of the show. That's, you know, man. All right,
I will go solo, Anthony. I will go solo and just and continue on.
I'll ride my cappella.
I was a little sad because, like, so JHS and Maxwell Lewis were on the podium for Media Day. And someone asked JHS about the video that I posted of him shooting corner threes. And they're like, did you change your shot? And like, I don't think Jalen really liked that question at all. So I'm glad, like, not that he didn't answer it any wrong way. I'm sure he didn't want to hear like, yeah, I changed my shot or something. He was just like, yeah, I was just working on my drills. So, I'm glad to hear that he impressed. He did impress last year as well on the first day of camp. So, you know, I don't know how much that means. I remember we joked about if JHS is impressing, then like who's not impressing, you know, like who's guarding him. But at least this is what you want to hear from the first day. He's healthy. I'm glad him and Max as well. LeBron brought up Max Christie's name, but I'm hopeful for Jalen We'll see if he plays in South Bay and if he has a chance at the rotation or whatever. But glad to hear like he's at least playing well. I think it's a good thing for the Lakers if their first round pick from a year ago turns some kind of corner. I think that's a positive. I think that's something everybody should be rooting for. And this was step one towards that. Everyone killed him on his jumper.
You aren't rooting for it?
I think people have moved way too far the other end. Like Anthony, I posted one drill of him shooting corner threes, and there were maybe like three people who were like, "Hey, it's going in." Like I was like, that was the extent of like positivity on that. Everyone else was like, "Oh man," like pausing it at weird angles, which I understand. It didn't look like a normal jump shot.
It looked great. I didn't like what I saw.
No, for sure. But I'm glad he looks good in camp. Let me ask you. I wanted to ask you this: from one to like LeBron predicting the Kobe 81, like how much do you believe this report that like Jalen impressed in camp? How much are you like buying this stock?
It was 1 to 81.
1 to LeBron like predicting the 81 from like okay, such an outlandish
that's 10 prediction. Okay. I'll say I believe it as much as LeBron saying that he knew when Bronny was 5 years old that he was special. That's as much as I would believe that.
Okay.
In that, like, I believe it, if you know, I believe people were hoping that it would happen. But I don't, I need to see it a little bit before I'm willing to like be really excited about it. The other problem too is like we talked about, we went over the rotation numbers before. You know whose name we didn't say?
Jalen Uchirino. Hey, we're extending this rotation. We are extending this rotation. It is 9 is too short. There's too much talent on this roster. There's too much talent. There's too much talent on this roster. You got to extend the rotation.
No, I'm the noise that you guys heard there. I'm finding the video that Raj posted of Jalen's shooting motion, just so he and I can look at it together. Why not? You know, what could possibly go wrong here? Let's see. It's an no. Back up. There it is. All right. I'm gonna add that to the library. We'll watch that together. But no, like I'm rooting for Jalen. I just legitimately don't see the path to minutes for him, you know, unless guys get hurt. You have D'Angelo Russell, you have Austin Reeves, you have Gabe Vincent, you have Max Christie. You know, there's just I don't really see much of a path here for him. You know, and I think it's gonna be another developmental year, which is, you know, just gonna piss off Lakers fans all the more.
Yeah, I understand. So the other day I went back and watched when Jalen got drafted, right? Just to like listen to what Jay Billis said. Jay Billis is one of the big draft people on ESPN. And I think to your point, his path towards minutes for a lot of the players at the end of this bench, honestly, this goes for Maxwell Lewis as well. I think this even goes for Max Christie. Like his path towards minutes is what he does on the defensive end, right? Like the advantage he has over our guards. He's a 6'5", long guard, supposed to have some athletic tools. Not like a super athlete in terms of jump, but has length, 6'11", wingspan. Like that's his like path. Had a bunch of steals in college. I believe he was the Big Ten freshman of the year. So like he does have like accolades on his kind of belt. But I think it's defense is how he gets on the court. The offense, whatever, like people laugh at the corner threes. But I mean, like if you want JHS to be your offensive player, like I don't think that's what you're getting, especially off-ball offensive player. I don't think that's what you're getting this year. But his path towards minutes is on the defensive end. Can you guard? Can you at least guard your position? Like, and that's the path that he should be looking towards for minutes.
Yeah, it probably isn't this shot. It is going in. You know,
yeah,
which I'll give him credit for that. You know,
like 13 in a row, I think.
In that video,
yeah,
I didn't count. I didn't.
Okay,
you stayed there and counted.
I've watched it a few times. I mean, you just.
Oh. That's good. 13. I mean, it does go to show how good these guys are. Like, I think the most threes I ever made in a row was like around 15 or so. Okay. And like, I was like a pretty good shooter by like high school, like nobody standards. The fact that this dude just like casually rips off 13 as like people online are wondering about his shot and the rotation of his hips. And yeah, like the that. Placement of his feet and all of that stuff.
People who haven't hit like two jumpers in their life, like, oh my God, get him out of here. It's like swish, swish, swish.
Yeah. Like yeah. you know, it's just, you look at like basically any NBA player, you know, and they probably have like a video of them making at least like 10 3-pointers in a row. And we're talking about like
centers. Yeah.
Dwight Howard. You know, those guys. So they're just insanely good. They're crazy good at basketball. I think that is going to do it for this episode while I still have a little bit of voice left. Fun show today. We have another fun one tomorrow as I have a guest who I need to, you know, figure out like time on and stuff. So keep an eye out for that. And then keep an eye out for Raj's show here in a second with Vinay on Lakers Detailed. Where you guys, I would imagine, are going to be talking about some of this stuff too. So, Raj, where can people find that?
It'll be on Twitter and then, also on the Lakers Detailed YouTube page. So you can find that, 8:30 PM. So in like an hour and a half, if I did my time right. Mm-hmm.
Just enough time to make and eat some dinner.
Yes.
Perfect. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And I will talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.